Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempest Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. All right, today I'm going to continue with my series, Wonderful Names of God, and I've got given you a whole list. We're going through 15 Old Testament names of God, and we've talked about each one of them. The most frequently used name in the Old Testament is translated Yahweh. The transliteration in English is Jehovah. So you can see Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, all these. The actual letters that are used, Hebrew letters that are used in the Old Testament is Yahweh, which is translated Yahweh. Most scholars believe that that's the way it is. They don't know if that's the full name of God, because Jewish scholars, Jewish rabbis felt that it was too important, the name of God was too important to pronounce or write. So even today, they do not write God, they just do GD when they're writing or when they speak of Yahweh. So anyhow, those are just some interesting facts about the name of God. Here's what's important, though. My proper name is Robert. I prefer to be called Rob, of course. But I'm also called Dad, Papaw, Father, Son, Uncle, Brother, Nephew, Pastor. You know, all these terms describe something about me. And that's what these names that we're looking at in regards to the Old Testament, each one describes something about the character of God that we need to know. God has so many facets about Him. We cannot fully and completely understand Him the way we would like to. And yet, He gives us glimpses of what He's like and who He is, so that we can have a somewhat of an understanding of this awesome, incredible being that created everything. And that lives, who came to live inside of anyone who would receive Christ as their personal Savior. Do you realize how incredible that is? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Man, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what should. God lives in you. God directs you. God is speaking to you. God loves you so much that He came to dwell in your house. Woo! What a God we serve. All right, Jehovah Ra is the name that we're looking at today. And the original word that Ra is derived from, Ro, means shepherd in Hebrew. So we know a shepherd is one who feeds, leads the flock, cares for the sheep, and cares for the animals at large. An extended meaning of this word can merely mean friend. So we've sing that song, I'm a friend of God. That's where that comes from. It can actually mean the Lord, my friend. It's interpreted Lord, my shepherd, but it can mean the Lord, my friend, because the Lord is our friend. The Lord loves us unconditionally, no matter what we think about ourselves. We are highly esteemed in the sight of our God. We are the apple of His eye. That's what He has promised us. We can trust God as we follow Him. knowing that He is the good shepherd. He leads us along the paths of righteousness. That's what David the psalmist told us. So as we study these names of God, we recognize that there's a meaning, some kind of attribute in regards to each and every one of these names and how important they are. There were two people watching a man drive a herd of sheep through a main street of a small town in Jerusalem. And they were tourists, and they were there visiting. And they turned to a local, and they said, I thought shepherds led sheep. I didn't know that they drove them with a whip. The local guy said, you're right. That's not a shepherd. That's a butcher. Careful who's driving you. Follow the good shepherd. He will speak to you. From the times of Abraham down to modern times, sheep have always been a very important part of the culture of the Middle East. The Arabs of Bible times have largely depended on sheep for many, many things, including milk. And I did not know that. I just found out that you can milk a sheep. I guess that'd be a funny thing to try. But I guess it's some of the richest milk in the world. They make a lot of cheese and stuff out of it. Well, to help us understand the large number of sheep that have always been in the land of Israel and Palestine, think about this. Job had 14,000 sheep. King Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, sacrificed 120,000 sheep. So as you can see, the numbers of sheep in that part of the world have always been huge. There's always been a lot of sheep, and they've always been cared for and tended. And of course, we all know certain things about sheep. We've heard how dumb sheep are supposed to be. Well, I don't know if that's if that is exactly true, that they are as dumb as we have been told. But the truth is, David the psalmist was referring to Jehovah Raah as his personal shepherd, leading and confronting and protecting and providing for him in this 23rd Psalm. And we're going to read that. I'm going to ask you to turn there, and we're going to read that. Psalm 23, 1 through 6, that's the whole 23rd Psalm. We're going to read through it, and then we're going to go back and look at each verse. Psalm 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes to me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, they will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray after we read the word. Father God, thank You for Your word today. Help us to glean something from the scripture, from Your holy word, Lord. It is powerful. It's inspired, it's inerrant, it's true in all things. Help us to receive today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 23:1, if you go back to that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want is a Hebrew word. It means to lack, be without, decrease, be lacking, have a need. You shall not lack in anything, because the good shepherd is leading and directing and taking care of you. During biblical times, families in the Middle East relied completely and totally on agriculture and tending animals and sheep. So they got food from the sheep. They got wool, sheepskin. As I already said, they got milk. All these things were very important. So being a shepherd or understanding shepherding sheep was a very important skill to be able to have. And there was a lot to that skill. That's why David the shepherd, who was a shepherd himself, could say, because he understood what shepherding was all about, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. I'll have need of nothing. He will be there. He'll take care of me. The Lord gave Ezekiel a prophecy about the coming Messiah. And it says this in Ezekiel 34, 23 and 24. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, and this is an allusion to the Messiah, because he was going to come from the lineage of David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. And I, the Lord, have spoken. Because the Lord is our shepherd, I know that no matter what takes place in this world, no matter what takes place in my life, and believe me, my life is just like all the rest of you. We have ups and downs. We have mountaintops. We have valleys. We have difficulties. We have good times and bad times in our lives. That's what this life is all about. If you're expecting a bed of roses, you're going to be sorely disappointed in this life, because it's not going to happen. But no matter what, God has promised us, He's the Good Shepherd. And He's going to lead us and direct us and keep us. It's very important that we recognize the Good Shepherd has full responsibility of our life. Sometimes we try to take control, take reins of our life, and we try to do things that we think is best for us without consulting the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd knows what is best for us. And He's always there. When Jesus called Himself the Good Shepherd, He was saying that He is inherently good. And He is the only one inherently good. The Good Shepherd knows what's best for each and every one. As a pastor told this story about visiting the Holy Land and observing shepherds, it seems he was in the countryside, and he saw it was a time for watering of the sheep, and all the shepherds came together to water the sheep. And all the sheep came together and started mingling. And he was there with a local, his guide, and as they came together, the guy had a question. He said, how in the world are they going to ever separate those sheep? Because they're all just mingling together. How are they going to know who's their sheep and who's the other person's sheep? And the guide said, just watch. So after they got done watering and his shepherds conversed a little bit, fellowshipped with each other, finally each one of them started walking off in a different direction. As they did, each one started singing. And as they started singing, the sheep, their sheep, recognized their voice and started following. We recognize the voice of our Lord. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Hallelujah. We know our good shepherd. There's going to be wolves come in among us. There always has been. There's wolves who try to conquer and divide. But if we would just listen to the voice of our good shepherd, we will hear the way and we will be able to follow. Even when we're among, maybe sometimes among wolves. The shepherd's job is to protect the flock, take care of it, and make sure that they are fed good quality feed, grass, and that they have good fresh water that's not too fast moving, because you see, sheep are meek animals, And if the water's flowing too fast, they're afraid of it. So the shepherd has to find a brook that is slow moving so that the sheep will not be afraid and they'll go in and drink. So guiding the sheep to a good location for food and water is extremely important. And our good shepherd has promised us that he's going to guide and direct us in every area of our life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorites. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He's going to direct our path. All we have to do is chase after him and acknowledge him. Psalms 23:3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we don't have to wonder which way we should go or what direction we're going in. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. So he's not only going to guide us with his hand, he guides us with his eye, he guides us in every area. The Lord is good to us, and he leads and instructs us in the way of righteousness, always. He does this in two ways. Number one, he does this through his word. Psalms 119:11, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, the psalmist writes. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are promised that if we get into the word of God, that we're going to be directed by that word to be able to be corrected and reproved and instructed to be righteous, to walk in righteousness. And then the other way is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to direct us, to correct us, to comfort us. John 14:28 tells us, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What does it say? It says he's going to bring to your remembrance. So I guess what he's telling us is that we, first of all, we have to hear what he has to say. And we find that in the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit does the work in us to teach us, to train us, to correct us when we need to be corrected. Our God is so good to us. He will do everything he can short of bringing judgment in our life before he does that. He will woo us, tenderly speak to us, call us, try his best to get us to recognize that we're on the wrong path and we're going in the wrong direction. Our God doesn't want to judge. That's not his desire. But there comes a time in a nation and in individual lives where judgment, because he's a righteous God, judgment will come about. If we have a relationship with the shepherd, we'll hear his voice. And that doesn't have to happen in our life. Another story about shepherds in Israel or in the Middle East. A tourist was there and he asked a local shepherd, how is it that the sheep seem to be able to follow you so easily? And he said, I just say, mana, 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 which means follow me in Arabic. And immediate, my immediately my sheep run to me and follow me. Shepherd said, I'd like to try that. Or the tourist said, I'd like to try that. So he took his cloak and he put his turban on and he cried out to the sheep, mana, mana, mana. The sheep just looked at him as if he was stupid. They paid no attention to him. The sheep did not respond to a stranger. We are sheep, whether we like it or not. We will not, if we have a relationship with a shepherd, we will not respond to a stranger. But here's what the tourist asked the shepherd. He said, will the sheep ever follow anyone other than you? Shepherd said, oh yeah, they will. You see, sometimes sheep get sick. And if they're sick, they'll follow anyone. We have nourishment. It's from the Word of God. If we allow ourselves to get feeble and sick, we just might find ourselves following the wrong person. Stay in the Word of God, and you'll remain spiritually healthy and strong and clearly hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod and the staff are two different things. The rod is kind of like a policeman's club with a knob on the end of it. And sometimes they actually drive nails in it to make a more effective weapon. That it's a weapon to drive off predators, wolves, and any other thing that might come to bear, anything that would come to try to kill the sheep. So the rod is an extremely important part of the arsenal that the shepherds have. The staff, on the other hand, is used to direct and manipulate the sheep without harming them in any way. It's a long pole. Sometimes it does have the crook on the end of it, as we've seen traditionally. But it is used in such a way that the shepherd can move the sheep around. It doesn't harm the sheep in any way. He prods them, and sometimes even he can rescue a sheep by using that crook and picking it up and pulling it closer to him. Or if it's in danger, he makes sure that he is able to reach out and say, God, over a cliff. He can reach down, pick it up, and pull it back up to safety. That's why the staff is so important. Our Lord has told us that he will lovingly and kindly manipulate and direct us in the way that we should go, gently, because he loves us so much. But the rod beats off the wolves, the predators, those who chase the sheep, those who try to destroy the sheep. There's a story told that came out in Jerusalem in 1972. It appeared in Jerusalem paper. It appears that a shepherd had brought a sheep into a walled-off enclosure area for the night. And it appeared that the sheep were resting when a wolf found a hole in the wall. Well, of course, the wolf trying to drag a sheep away, and it startled the shepherd, and he woke up. He grabbed his club, and he went over and started beating the wolf. And as he did, the wolf turned on him. And the wolf started biting and attacking him, and the shepherd continued to fiercely fight this beast, and he finally overcame the beast, but much to the dismay of the shepherd, he was wounded severely. But with his last bit of strength, he gathered up the sheep, wrapped up its wounds, and as he collapsed over the sheep that night, He and the sheep fell asleep. But because of his wounds, the shepherd actually died, and he was found dead that next morning with his arms around the sheep. And the sheep, here was the headline, "Sheep alive, covered in shepherd's blood." That's kind of a sad story, but that is our story.
Yes.
We're alive.
Yes.
Because we're covered.
Yes.
In the shepherd's blood.
Hallelujah.
He fought the battle for us. He won the victory. It's all done, and it's said, and it's over in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. Psalm 23:5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Your cup, my cup, our cup is not just full, but it runs over because of the anointing of the Lord God. The mark of God is many times very visible in a person's life. Now, I'm not trying to say just because you're prospering or just because you're having a hard time that either God is with you because you prosper and God's not with you because you're having a difficult time. I'm not saying that at all. We all go through things. But I will say that the mark of God's blessing on a person's life is very visible. You can see the joy. You can see the blessing. You can see, yes, you can see the financial blessing in an individual's life. Not always, but yes, God is doing. You can see the family blessing. You can see the things that are taking place. And those of us who are walking in the fullness of the blessing need to lift up and encourage those who are not, who are having difficult times. This is not a message where we condemn somebody because they don't appear to have the blessing of God on their life. No, we love, we reach out, we encourage, we lift people up because we are living under the anointing and the blessing of the Almighty God. That's why we must lift one another up. Psalms 31:19. "Oh, how great your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. Watch, you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." In the presence of the sons of men, people will see us. "You anoint my head with oil." The references to ointments and perfumes that were used regularly in banquets in the Middle East. A sweet-smelling Savior, we smell good to our God. It tells us that God provides for the joys as well as the necessities of our life. Matthew 6:33, very popular scripture, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, let's make sure that we understand what it's saying here. Chase after God, seek the things of God, make that number one in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then you have no worries. No worries at all. Because all the things that the Gentiles chase after will be added to you. But get your priorities right. Now, I want to make sure I make this very clear. I'm not telling you that we're all going to have a big house, a big car, and a big bank account. It's very possible. Those are some of the blessings of God. But there's some things that are so much more important. Do you realize family is the most important thing? And I'm talking about our biological families, and I'm talking about our church families. That is the most important thing. Do we have a strong, healthy family? Do our children understanding a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we in this church as a community reaching out to one another and lifting each other up? Are we reaching out into the community to touch people's lives? Those are the kind of blessings that I think are much more important than any material thing that we can have. What I believe this scripture is telling us is that as children of the King, we should be satisfied with our provisions. I'm not telling you you can't strive for more. Make sure you keep the kingdom of God, number one. Amen. But what I am telling you is that we're supposed to have joy. We're supposed to be cheerful. We should have joyful hearts and be thankful for what God has given us and allowed us to have. I'm amazed when I look around at this place and what God has allowed us to do. And I think it's a relatively short period of time to be able to pay this building off, to be able to accomplish what we've accomplished here. I'm sure you realize that we had our naysayers when we first took this building, this task on. We had people who said, boy, they've taken off more than they can chew. Well, as humans, yes, we took off a lot more than we could chew. But we have a big God can chew anything. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we're nearing the payoff of this building, I'm just amazed at what God has done and what He's going to continue to do. Here's what we got to do, though. We have to keep our focus on the kingdom and recognize that, you know, it doesn't end just when we pay off our building. God has some incredible things for us to do in the future. We're going to keep moving, keep striving, keep accomplishing. If we need and want more, I believe all we have to do, we're satisfied with what God has done, but if we need and want more, we humbly ask our Heavenly Father. I love the prayer of Jabez. Listen to Jabez's prayer, 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Jabez didn't go around complaining. He was not doing real well when he prayed that prayer. He didn't curse God. He didn't say, you know, it's your fault, God. No, he simply asked the Heavenly Father, "Bless me, Lord. Help me and keep me from causing pain to other people. Oh, God, don't allow me to cause pain to others. I want people to be uplifted and encouraged and to walk in the power of Almighty God and to know that there is goodness in the kingdom of God." As we continue to dwell in the house of the Lord, and I believe that that's what Psalms 23, verse 6 is referring to. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy will follow and chase after us. Because of his relationship with the Lord, David expected God's goodness and mercy to follow him wherever he went and whatever he did. You remember when he decided that he was going to, or he wanted to build a temple for God? Nathan the prophet came to him, and David said, you know, "I have this desire to do this thing." And Nathan said, "Whatever is in your heart, do it." That tells me that Nathan understood that God's relationship with David was a very unique one. No more unique than what we have today. But it was a unique relationship because David was a man after God's own heart. Later, God spoke to Nathan and said, "No, go back and tell David he's not the one to do it." So the lesson that I get from that is that we move forward as far and as long as God opens the door for us to be able to accomplish whatever it is we feel like God has laid on our heart. And if He wants to redirect us, guess what? He can speak to us and He can speak to other people, change our direction. That's why I think that prophecy is so important in the body of Christ. First, God speaks to you, and then He confirms it through a prophet or a prophetic utterance, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or anything like that, that gives you confirmation that God has spoken to your heart. Do not take a prophecy, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, at face value, just because somebody comes up to you and says, God has ordained you to move to Africa. And I don't know, are there pygmies in Africa? I'm not sure where pygmies are. But anyhow, go there and minister. You know, people's lives have been destroyed because they have heard a message like that and they said, oh, well, God's speaking to me and we'll go do it. No, God speaks to your heart first. He trains you to hear His voice. And then He brings somebody to bring confirmation to what He has already spoken to you. So do not run off someplace and do something or just take a word at face value. Put it on the shelf. If God hasn't spoken to you, put it on the shelf and wait for God to speak to you about it. As David continued to dwell in the house of the Lord, and I don't believe this is a reference to the temple or any house that was in Israel at that time. David was talking about himself. Dwelling. God dwelling in him. God dwelling there. In John 10, 2 through 4, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is a reoccurring theme that I've been sharing with you this morning. Over and over, we hear the voice of our shepherd. He's speaking to us. He wants to speak to us. Don't think it's an unusual thing to hear the voice of God. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've had God speak to me numerous times, here and here. And I can tell you for sure, when He speaks to me, I recognize His voice. I know some of the things that He has told me. And I gather it up and I hold on to it until I see the manifestation of it. Other times, I believe that God has said, move, and I just go and follow what He has spoken to me to do. Our God is in control of all things. He will direct your life. When astronaut Alan Shepard was preparing to make his first space flight, he was in a news conference and a reporter asked him, Mr. Shepard, what are you depending on in this flight? I don't think the reporter was asking him or expecting the response that he got from Alan, but this is what he said. I'm depending on the fact that God's laws will not change. When you're getting ready to go into space and where your survival and your return to Earth depends upon all those laws that God put into place and stay in place while you're up there, it's pretty important to trust and depend upon that fact. I trust in that fact with my life that God's laws will not change. Hallelujah. A man who knew his God. And he could venture into space because he knew that God's laws would not change. Sheep who know the voice of the Lord dwell in His presence securely all the days of their life. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.